Hey everyone, this is Chris and you're listening to the Live Fix Podcast, the podcast that explores the concert fan experience. We believe live music is life-altering. Join us as we share stories and connect with concert fans to discover how live music forever rocks our world before, during, and after the show. Thanks for listening and enjoy the episode. On this episode of Live Fix Podcast, we explore the work and concert experiences of Macy Burr, graphic designer and owner of Soundscape Studio. With her work on Soundscape Studio, Macy transforms music scores into colorful geometric artwork. It's pretty cool stuff. Macy shares her take on the live music experiences as we dive into the importance of concert branding and stage design. We explore how does color, set design, and branding of the band all influence our emotions and memories and everything else connected with a live music experience. From a fan and designer perspective, Macy shares a really amazing Buck Meek show and a really bad 30 Seconds to Mars show. She also shares how she blacked out during the Buck Meek show, doesn't remember anything about the songs, but still ranks the show as her favorite. It made us wonder, what happens in our mind and body that we can be so emotionally present in the moment that we don't remember what songs were played, but still love the show? Together with Macy, we wonder, what if we could create visual art that is a representation of the emotional experience we have at a live show? And can we create that type of art with modern technology like MRIs and image mapping devices? And if we could, what would that art look like? And how would that art create community and make us more connected as concert fans? Can we create art that captures our shared live music experiences? We also talk about why she's considered a scratch and sniff soundscape, and how she was so amazed to discover her artwork was tattooed on another fan's body. Macy, thank you so much for joining us. It is great to have you here with us on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Chris.
You know, we came across your work and really enjoyed what you're doing.
Wait a second, I came across the work first.
Okay.
Give me credit for that.
Yes. Colleen, you, oh, Court. Okay, fine. You get the credit where credit is due. Yeah. Colleen had shown me what she came across and I was like, man, we have to get Macy on the show to talk about her work.
And actually the Bon Iver version of Skinny Love brought me to you.
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Macy. Yeah. The version that you did. And obviously we're going to talk about your art and the Soundscape Studio. If you could tell us a little bit of how you got started creating.
Sure. So I am a graphic designer and I also have played piano for over 10 years, maybe closer to 15 years now. I've been saying that for about 5 years. But so I started putting those two interests together and creating data visualizations of music scores. And they basically look like colorful geometric prints, but they actually visually depict the notes and rhythmic values of songs. And I got started doing it about 5 years ago. I was attending a concert with a friend of mine, and I was observing this DJ who was, he was mixing his music in time to a light show, and I was so captivated by that. And I just kept thinking about the concept, and I just basically went home and started playing around with ways that I could execute a similar idea through design. And I just started doing it and started posting them online. And I got a really positive response from the Facebook community and the Instagram community, and people started requesting songs. And now I have over 200 in my collection.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting that your experience at a concert is what kind of got you going, because I was reading some interviews of you explaining that very experience. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was going to ask about that DJ experience that you had, And I
love, and who was the DJ? Where, what show was it at?
I wish I knew. I was bar hopping with a friend in Dallas, and we saw a lot of shows that night. We were kind of in and out of a bunch of just really small venues on one particular street. And I honestly wish that I that I had more information so that I could reach out and tell him that he inspired my entire artistic process.
Yeah, so it seems that the live music experience has it's inspired you, and your art that you have through Soundscape is rooted in that live music experience. And have you done any art? Because I was looking at the songs that you've done and visualized in that way, and I was wondering have you begun to experiment with some of your own live music experiences in making the art. Based off of what you experience live versus a recorded piece of music.
I haven't, but that is definitely top of mind for the evolution of Soundscapes. I have talked to several developers about basically writing some sort of algorithm that could work with MIDI compatible instruments, so it could physically document the notes being played live as like in real time. So I feel I'm feeling really excited about that. I think it'll be a few years before that's a thing, but yes, I definitely think about adjacent ideas all the time.
Very cool concept. I love it. And I'm kind of wondering where you came up with the color schemes, and was that the colors you were seeing that night, or were you seeing other types of colors, or I guess how do you decide that?
The colors that I saw the night that inspired me, I think, were more neon, but I'm definitely an earth tone person. That's my preference. And so I kind of appropriated the concept just with my own personal color palette. And then I remember whenever I was playing around on the piano, trying to figure out how to execute this idea, I was really drawn to the high shrill notes on the piano and associated them in my mind with like bright blues and greens. And then on the opposite side, the deep, rich notes on the low end of the piano really resonated with reds and oranges for me. And so that was kind of the basis for the color palette. And then I just kind of filled in the rest of the colors to create like a cohesive gradient so that I could cover the full palette of notes that I needed.
Yeah, that's amazing. And when I was looking at your art, you know, I was thinking of, you know, the live music experiences that you would have hearing those same songs live. And how do you think the art that you've made so far, like the Weezer visualization and some of the other, I think the very first one you did was John Legend, I believe, right?
Yes.
So have you, we know you've seen Weezer yes. live. Like how would you go back and change like evolve that if you were to go and do a live music visualization of that concert or what you heard or what you experienced, like what would that process look like for you?
That's a good question. I was actually considering the difference between a live recording versus a studio recording the other day, of just how the same song can have really subtle variations in the way that it's played and the way that it's experienced depending on the context. And so I think that that would be a really interesting thing to document. Like if this song is played 5 to 10 times in various venues with all of the different elements, in what ways is it played or interpreted differently, basically, especially in genres like jazz, where there's some sort of improvisational element that may be different every single time. I would love to do a series of the same song played, by the same artist in different ways, and just see how it kind of evolves over time.
And some bands have so much live recording that you really could do that.
Like the
Grateful Dead, I saw Franklin's Tower on there.
Yes.
And you could, I mean, they have decades, like different, each decade that they played, it would be different in the 80s than it was the 60s. And you could like do each decade that song and it would be probably a whole different layout for you.
Oh, absolutely. And yeah, that is such a good point because, yeah, especially the Beatles too, you know, there's so many re-releases of certain songs or never before heard recordings or the first cut of a certain thing. And yes, I just love that concept.
Now, have you thought about the emotional component of the visualization? Because one of the things that we've, you know, love to explore with other music fans, concert fans, is kind of what you feel during a show and what that would look like visualized. You know, if you were able to put like, you know, an MRI on your brain in a baseball cap or something like that, and go to a show and start to visualize what that music is making you feel, and have a visualization, you know, similar to kind of what you might, sounds like you were inspired by that DJ, that screen, you know. I've seen other bands like, you know, Rat-A-Tat, you know, they will visualize their music and have different things kind of going up. But I was wondering if you ever have started to think about like the, not just the musical visualization of what you're doing on the recorded side, but kind of combining that with what people would feel during the show and what that would look like visually.
Yeah, that's not something I've thought about a whole lot, but I would definitely say that I think that there's a strong correlation between color and emotions. And one of my favorite things is when I feel that the way that the song looks really captures like the mood of how it sounds. One of my favorite examples of this is Ring of Fire. By Johnny Cash, ended up being a really fiery red color based on the key that it's in. I love those alignments. And I think that that's a really special experience when you can just have like the visual association with the auditory experience.
And going back to your live music experiences, what has been your top live music experiences?
I would say that my top five are Weezer. I saw Buck Meek at a very small venue called the Heartbreak House in Fayetteville, and it was one of the most magical experiences because there was maybe 20 people in the room, and it's literally in this old Victorian house and the floor creaks, and there were candles lit, and it was so warm and intimate, and I will absolutely never forget it. But then on the flip side, another top favorite of mine was seeing Krungbin maybe about a month ago at Format Fest in Bentonville, and it was the complete opposite experience where we were outdoors, there were thousands of people, but I particularly loved that one as a visual person. They had these gigantic screens that translated the images of the musicians into pixels that were changing and adapting as the music was playing. And based on how my artwork looks, I'm sure you could imagine that really struck me. And I was so inspired by that. And the colors were changing, and it was just a really, really immersive experience where I felt like all five of my senses were activated.
Yeah, I'm really interested to know like just how you approach a live show. I think we've kind of got a good idea so far, but I'd love to go a little bit deeper and just get to hear you talk about kind of when you go through the process of a show or going to a show, and then when you get there, like what is it like for you, being a designer, graphic designer, and seeing experiences very visually. You know, I know concert fans can be visual, but I think you have a unique perspective in that you create art that's very visual and is inspired by that. And what's your experience like when you go to a show? And you know, do you Do you have a process or, you know, a way that you experience a show that maybe is unique, or what's your approach?
Well, I would say the first thing that I notice when I go to a live show is the way that they have the stage set up. Is it a really extravagant maximalist design with lots of components to the set, or is it really stripped down and minimal? Because I feel like that really just kind of sets your anticipation for, yeah, well, what's about to happen. And I also think that I approach it kind of from a design perspective, where I'm considering that as an aspect of their brand. So whenever I'm creating a logo or a brand identity for a client, you know, we talk through certain adjectives, like, would you describe yourself as bold or minimal, or more masculine or feminine, you know, just to kind of hone the vision for their business or whatever it is. And so I notice these things about bands, because they essentially they have an identity of their own, you know, and so the way that they visually communicate their style is as impactful as the music that they're playing, and they're visually preparing you for what is about to sonically happen.
Yeah. And do you think that the music sets the tone for the brand of the band, or does the brand set the tone for the music? Like, which do you think comes first, or is more impactful or important, I guess, in that aspect?
That's an interesting thing to consider. I would say, I would say that the identity of the band impacts the music, because it's almost like the jumping off point for the goal of the experience, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like, they're through their visual identity and these visual components, beyond even just the stage, like everything from the light show to the just the venue that they've chosen, or even the location, you know, it says a lot. And I think that impacts the way the music is played and the way that it's experienced, because it's all trying to accomplish like a certain style.
Yeah, and an outdoor experience is going to be very different than a small indoor venue or bar, for sure.
Absolutely, yes.
And now what concert would you say, you know, out of all the concerts you've been, that you're like, you've been blown away just by the whole setup, and it changes the way that you've functioned as far as a designer?
I'm going to have to go back to that Krungbin concert. It was just really magical for a lot of reasons. Like I mentioned, they had that really euphoric screen experience just watching that, but also just everything about the way what they were wearing and the music they were playing was great. The energy of the crowd was amazing. But what really struck me was, there was something that surprised me, I should say, was I don't know, maybe towards the end of the show, they had played a set and then they just launched into this series of covers that they were really unexpected, and they were a really wide variety of genres, like Wicked Game by Chris Isaac, and all the way to like Dr. Dre cover. And the crowd was just blown away by it, and it was almost as exciting to experience this and feel excited about recognizing certain songs than it was to just hear your favorite Krungbin song. Like, for some reason, this pattern recognition of, oh, I know that song, and then turning to the person next to you and feeling so excited about recognizing your mutual favorite song together was just a really connecting, exciting experience. And so that was probably my favorite.
And do you prefer to go to shows with friends, or do you prefer to meet people at shows? Meet
Oh,
people.
yeah. I definitely prefer to go with friends. I think it's a really important bonding experience. Because that's something that I've experienced through Soundscapes as well, is that most people who purchase a print from me are gifting it to someone else. And so I'm always really curious in that aspect to know, like, why this song? What is the connection here? Was this a concert that you two went to together, or is this your favorite karaoke song to sing together, or is this a song that was played at your mother's memorial service and it makes you cry? Or is that, there's so many reasons why people love certain songs or have a certain connection with another person about a particular song, and I just always love to know those stories.
Yeah, you brought up a good topic that I was talking about with Colleen, but as we were preparing for the show, and I was talking about how, your art, I would love to have that in our house. And then I was like, my favorite shows, I would love to have art that is a representation similar to what you're creating, that would be a visualization of the emotional experience that I had at the show, and then with someone, and kind of see what that art looks like being brought together, and then have that be a conversation that someone would have when they come into our home, and then kind of carrying that on. And that's and that and that 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 was one of the topics I wanted to kind of put out there for you. I was like, I would love to have this art in my house, but what about putting in the context of a concert experience? Because I was, thinking about all the different emotional experiences you could have at a show, and again, what that would look like visually represented, whether in like it would look like an MRI, or it would look like, or an MRI visualized or whatever, and then have that be the art, and that art is something that is a again, a representation of what's happening inside my heart or my mind in that given time. And then that moment is captured. So that what you just said made me think of, if you were to have, like,
That's putting a lot out there, though.
yeah,
I mean,
well,
if you had that
that's what,
all, visual
but that's what
for.
she's saying. She's saying that, your customers, the people who are purchasing the art, are gifting it in a way to memorialize or to remember a certain moment, right? And that's I think that's interesting. So Macy, I don't know if you, again, I know you haven't necessarily created anything like that yet. We're just we like to be kind of futuristic, I guess, in that. But your art has inspired some thought in that
So you're
direction.
suggesting we have people over for dinner and we look over at our wall and it's the representation of your emotional state at a live show. That's what you're proposing.
Yeah, because it's
Interesting.
if I love Weezer, which there's lots of Weezer songs that I really enjoy that I've had emotional experiences with, or my favorite hip hop song or rock song or whatever it is, or seeing whatever band live, and that emotional experience happened at that time. And if you or I were at the same show together, we had that, and then what if we had some art that kind of brought that together and encapsulated that moment, and then display it, right? Because that's what art is, right? I mean, Macy, help me out. Macy, help me out here a little bit, all right?
I think that's a really
feel
interesting
feel
idea.
free free feel to jump in.
I think that's a really interesting idea. I do think that, or I love the way that you described the piece as a conversation, though, because I think that it is that that's the value of the representation, is that it sparks a conversation and it also represents a conversation, because I think that that's essentially what's happening at a during a live music experience, right? Like what I was just describing as like listening to these covers, it was almost like Krungbin was communicating to us this really nostalgic form of connection. Like, we know that you know that these songs, we know that you know these songs, and we're going to play these for you. And then you are receiving that conversation and then turning to the person that you're with at the concert. And then you guys are having a conversation now of like, yes, we do know this song. And it's just this beautiful feedback loop of a connective experience. And then the prints that I'm creating are essentially relics of that connective experience that you can look back on and say, I remember how I felt when I heard this song live. And then if you say, have someone over for dinner, and they come over and they see that you have whatever song hanging on your wall, and they ask you, why this song? What is this? And then you can then like keep the trend going and have the conversation with them and tell them about that experience. And I love that concept.
And I do think that every show has a unique impact on an individual. I don't think, even if you see the same band, there's people that follow bands and they'll go Wednesday, they'll see them Thursday, they'll see them. Yeah. I mean, I know people are Dave Matthews fans. Like, I follow all the Dave Matthews fan sites, and it's like, they'll get 3 or 4 days worth of shows, and they'll play some of the same stuff, but it is such a different experience, even though it's the same song, the same band. It's because where they're sitting, it's who's with them. It's a different note being played, you know, in the second verse, you know, and maybe a different lyric, or the band says something on stage that's very different. And so I do think capturing that unique piece of the show is so important. And if we can do it in art, or we can look at it every day, you know, how amazing that would be.
Yeah, absolutely. And it reminds me of that quote, you know, art mimics life. So it's so on point that the goal is to just capture these really emotive moments that we all remember.
Yeah, because if you look at other things that concert fans will hold on to, or, you know, use as memories or memorabilia, you have concert tickets, you have concert posters, you have a concert shirt that you might buy at the show. You know, these are all, you know, in, you know, I guess in a wide sense, art. Depends on the artist. Sometimes they'll do something, you know, unique with those things, with those artifacts at the show. But I was just like, man, if there could be like another level and a deeper sense to kind of push things forward, and actually create art that would capture that moment in a more, you know, potentially personal, but more visually, expressive way that has colors that represents, and those colors represent mood in that given time. Because when you go to a show, right, you have that moment that you were feeling before the concert started. You brought emotions, you brought, you know, things into the show, you know, maybe happy things, sad things, whatever it is, you're bringing something into that show, that emotional state. And you got that hour and a half or whatever, how long they play, stuff is starting to swirl, you know, and you're, you know, experiencing mood and changes and excitement and maybe some other things that might, you know, surprise you. You know, I think we've all been ambushed by certain emotions, you know, certain memories, like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. So that happens that period of time. And then you leave the show, and then you're a different person. So it would just be interesting to have art that would capture that during, and maybe even the after stage. Like, how are you, you know, here's what you look like visually during the show, or before the show, during the show, and after the show. And just what, you know, what does that change, that transformation, you know, look like? And yeah, it's just interesting to think about. And that's what your art got us thinking. When I saw it, I was like, oh yeah, like that's what I feel about wanting to capture the live music experience. And what you're doing with Soundscape is doing it with recorded music. And so it's fun to dive into that stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'd like to go on the other side of the aisle, I guess. I know, yeah, we're at a concert on the other side of the aisle. And what are some really bad experiences? I know you mentioned, and we'll get to that in just a second, I guess, the 30 seconds to Mars experience that you mentioned, but not that one, because I want to talk about, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But like from a design perspective, what is an artist or an experience that you thought was not good? And kind of what did you learn from that experience that maybe influenced your work with Soundscape, or maybe just your experience of a fan, right? Like what was a bad experience that you kind of helped you understand things or realize what's good and what's bad?
That's an interesting question. Let me think about that for a second. I would say a particular experience is not coming to mind, but in general, if I feel that the set design is overly, okay, no, wait, I have one. okay, I saw Andrew McMahon I saw him in Kansas City, and I absolutely love him. Constantine is one of my favorite songs, and I was a huge Something Corporate fan. And anyway, I saw him live, and his set design was so over the top that it was almost theatrical in a way that I didn't personally feel matched his audio aesthetic, what basically the feelings that his music evoked for me did not line up to the whimsical like maximalist nature of the stage he set, essentially. So just walking in, I was a little bit turned off. It was a little juvenile, and so that kind of changed my mindset and put me in a different headspace than I maybe would have been with a more minimal set design. So that would be my answer for just a purely visual experience. But then his performance was beautiful, and it ended up being like a pretty decent show despite that, but it definitely impacted my experience, I would say.
So you didn't throw out all your, well, I was gonna say you throw out all your records. We don't have those anymore, I guess. Well, we do, vinyl's coming back. But did you, it sounds like his performance was good, but did it change any of your perception of his music after the show?
So he's still making music. And so the majority of the songs that he played were new ones, but I would say that the songs that he did play that were old ones, they were so meaningful to me that in the moment I was just completely captivated by his performance, and I kind of just disregarded all of my surroundings at that point and was just completely focused on him and the music.
That's good, because I know that sometimes what you just described can really just, it can just totally take the performance,
make or break it,
down the drain. You know, and you can associate things, right? We visually associate things. We're triggered as a designer, you know, working with brands, like you mentioned earlier, we associate things visually with other things. I mean, it's one of the most, quickest associations we make, right? So it sounds like you were able to forgive Andrew and just focus on the
music. Still love music. Him.
His music was so good, in the performance, that you were able to cut him some slack on the poorly designed set. Did you send him an email or anything? Did you reach out to him
and say, "Hey,
Andrew, I could help you out here if you just let me
slip him my business card."
yeah. No, it's interesting. Yeah, you could have impressions, right? I think and you probably have examples of these as well, most likely, of bands that are trying to make a statement visually, right? And they'll have something, a banner, behind maybe a political statement or that maybe you don't align with, you know, or something maybe, I don't know. I
feel like the way the music is, or the musical instruments are organized, like bothers me.
Really?
If it's not organized in a way that I feel is appropriate. I'm not like a great musician, but I know a couple of instruments and things. And so when I see I don't know why, when I see stuff, if people are tripping over chords the whole show, or if there's constant like people switching guitars and I can see them more than I see the artists, that really bothers me that they didn't like figure all that out ahead of time. Cause I feel like that stuff visually is, I want to focus on the music and the artist. But see, now I did a lot of photography where I was up close.
Yeah.
So I could see and hear and see everything moving around on stage. And I guess that would ruin the experience for me if there was too much of that, like the sound people and people running around. And I remember so many artists I've seen where they're like signaling to the sound guy, turn it up louder, turn my mic louder. And it's like, isn't that handled beforehand? You know, like. I feel like that, you know, that'd be something I would do beforehand if I was an artist and make sure all that's in place. So that kind of stuff would really make it or break it for me.
Yeah. And I feel like just the instruments themselves are interesting too. Just seeing them on stage. Like I saw Kikagaku Moyo in Denver a couple months ago, and I arrived at the venue and I see on stage there is a flute and a bong and a didgeridoo, and I was just immediately so excited. They had nothing else on stage, but I was like, this is gonna be so good.
See, that's interesting, right? I mean, they, do you think they did that intentionally, like to kind of
set the mood,
or that's just how they play, right? I mean, that's, I always wonder how much thought has gone into these things. I know some artists are good, they put a lot of thought into just subtly putting things there, like you picked up on it, you know. Do you think they did that on purpose, or I don't know, what do you think, Macy?
It is hard to say. I hope they did it on purpose because they were very successful.
yeah they seem like the band, type of band that would put a lot of thought, because there are, I mean, they are artists, you know, and beyond music artists with that. So it's interesting. I remember hearing Jack White of the White Stripes talk about he specifically has his instruments at a certain distance so that they're not all at the same length, and that he has to push himself to get to these areas, to the different instruments. I remember him talking about that, how he wants, like he sees it, you know, as a, it's almost like a physical exercise that he's doing, that he's connected it to the musical performance. And I thought that was interesting, where he's putting things just out of reach enough each show, so they're in a different spot, or, you know, so he kind of has to challenge himself, and that challenge and that grit, or that, I mean, he sweats a ton, like just, you can tell he's working, like he's, you know, he's putting all into the show. But I thought that was interesting, like he's specifically designing things where he's pushing himself, and we're seeing him, I remember I could still see him jumping around the stage and going to different, you know, during the show, or during the song to song, you know. So it seems like artists, you know, do you consider that, and it has impact on, you know, the anticipation, right? Because how you came into the venue, Macy, and you saw what you said, you said a flute, a bong, and what was the other one?
A didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo. Yes.
Didgeridoo.
Yes. Yes. And that's yeah. You're like, ooh, what's
what's gonna happen here?
If they had like just a, I don't know, like a dog or something sitting on the stage in a cage or something, you know, it's like very performance art.
Now, have you ever performed on stage?
I haven't. I would say in small settings mostly, but not on a physical stage. But I do think it's really interesting what you were saying with Jack White. I haven't heard about that, but I think that's really interesting to consider how elements of design could play out in motion in real time, like considering balance and symmetry and use of negative space within movement and like just during the live music experience as a component of the overall visual experience, just the literal movement of bodies. That's a good consideration.
And one of the things that we've asked a lot of the guests on, is there any live music experience that you can go back to and say really helped you get through something that was going on in your life? You know, whether it was a job, whether it was a loss, whether it was an answered question in your life that you kind of put out there. Can you go back to any experience like that?
Yeah, I would say that the Buck Meek experience at the Heartbreak House was really transformative, just in the sense of like the atmosphere of the small venue itself just created a sense of home, and it was so comforting, and it just created such a, I don't know, just a warm sensation that I carried with me for I don't even know how long afterward, but it just was extremely healing. And I think that it just mimicked almost like a hug or just a conversation with a close friend or just anything that we consider healing in that way. It just satisfied every single thing and was so great.
And that was actually post COVID-19 stuff, or was that prior or during?
That was prior. I wish that would have been extra healing after. But yeah, I know that you had asked what are the two components of a live music experience that I value the most. And I had said the band and who you're with, but I think that venue would be a very, very, very close third, because that can create an entire experience within the atmosphere itself.
Were you with friends at that show?
At Buck Meek, I was with my wife, and it was a really good experience, and we were holding hands and candles were lit, and people from the community that we knew were around us and some friends, and just it felt very intimate in every possible way.
Sometimes you need to remember those experiences when you're in a time where you feel very isolated and
Absolutely.
alone. You know, if in the future you have to look back and say like, wow. And sometimes even listening to that song could bring that feeling back to you, and that's what's amazing about having the ability. I mean, now with like Spotify, we're so spoiled, or not just Spotify, but any of those, you know, places online, you can go YouTube and just Google it in and boom, you're there. You can just recharge and get back to that feeling of being connected to the people you were there with.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that goes back to what we were talking about earlier of the visual representation of the song being a sort of artifact for the meaning of the song itself, because it's different for every single person. You know, the meaning of the song could, or one song in particular could have been someone's wedding song, but then someone else's song that they sing in the car with their best friend. And, you know, it just, I think that's the beauty of music, is that it's open to interpretation, and it also just has endless experiences that give songs context in people's lives, and it's just beautiful to hear all of those stories.
Do you remember what song hit home for you during that show?
Oh man, I think that I was so into it that I blacked out.
Oh no, you're okay.
The best way, no, in an emotional wife? Way, I would say.
Okay.
I just was so like, I can't, you know, when you're just so in the moment that you almost can't even remember what happened. It was just so captivating. I think that is what happened to me, because I cannot recall a single song that he played, but it was beautiful, all of it.
You almost don't want to go home after experience like that.
Yeah.
It's like, keep playing, just keep playing.
I sleep here on the floor. Thank you. Right. Just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, does that music experiences like that, does that kind of raise the bar for you and other performances? Like, have you, you know, have you, you know, obviously you had that experience and then you go to another show and, you know, do you kind of hope that you have that same experience at other shows, or how do you personally work with that? You know, having
like, how do you pick one next?
Such a transcendent experience, right? I mean, that's, you know, it's hard, I guess, you know, not to rank though, but I was just curious, Macy, like how do you go from that experience to the next one, you know, and like, do you remember specific songs of another concert, but not that one? Like, it was just, you know, that was such a transcendent one that you're like, do you go to your next show hoping that you have that same experience?
I would say that for me personally, I try to go into a live music experience with as little expectation as possible. I do typically have maybe an idea or a hope of a song that might be played in the back of my mind, which may or may not happen, but I don't think that previous experiences would inhibit future experiences that are different. You know, I think that just continually being open to the possibility that every single live music experience could be new and better and different in its own unique way is the way to go about it, basically, because then it just allows for the largest variety of I don't know, just beautiful experiences, I would say, and then just as little disappointment as possible.
Low bar. Go with the low bar.
We don't know what they're gonna do.
right.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a little off topic, but going back to, you know, maybe when you were younger, you know, there's a lot of people we talk to, you know, we say, oh yeah, we did this live music podcast and we talked to him about it. They're like, I've had this amazing live music experience and they want to share it with you, or we've had like, I'm not really into live music. And so I'm wondering, like, is there anything in your past or in your childhood that has encouraged you or has made you enjoy live music? You know, because again, there are people who don't, and they've never been a concert. Like, I know people have never been to one live show, and it just blows me away every time. So I'm just wondering, is there something that when you were younger, was there music always on? Did your parents love live music?
Yeah, so my dad is a musician. He has played guitar since he was 20 years old, and he is in his 70s now. And so I basically grew up going to a live music event of some sort, whether it was a party or a concert or a small gig at a bar or whatever, basically my entire childhood. And at home, he was always practicing, so there was always music going around. I remember specific experiences of just my mom saying that dinner was ready, and my dad was like, well, I can't come right now, I'm writing a song. And then I would be playing piano, and it was just this whole this whole thing. But anyway, yeah, I think that that's also a reason that, now that I'm thinking about it, that maybe I don't hear particular songs as much, where just hearing him practice, you know, he essentially played the same songs over and over again for 20 years or however long I lived at home. And then I would hear them live, and I was so captivated by just the atmosphere and the environment and all of the factors that make a live music experience different than a studio experience, that it almost didn't matter what song he was playing. It was just about being present in that moment. And I experienced that over and over. And so that's kind of what I'm mentally seeking when I go to a live show today, where it almost, I don't remember or notice what song they're playing. I'm just watching the artist so intently and just observing how they're attempting to connect with their audience and how they're experiencing these different elements of atmosphere in relation to me.
And have you ever gone any live shows with your dad?
I think he took me to Alicia Keys when I was a kid. And I remember that being really great, actually, because she's amazing. I remember trying to record a video of her on a Nokia brick phone.
Nice.
yeah.
It makes it different when you're with your parents, I think. For some reason, it just, like you talk about that experience being kind of like home. And I'm kind of reminded by that when because I went to have quite a few concerts with my dad, and it's different. It's a different experience when you have your parents there, and you know, they might not even like the music, but they're going because they know you do.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but I think that's a part of the conversation, you know, or like why it plays back into why does someone buy music print for someone else? Is it, I hate this song, but I know that you love it, here you go. Or is it, we together love this song and enjoy it so much and it brings back memories? You know, there's so many experiences like that with live music or just music in general, where the conversation could be mutual or just kind of accommodating someone else's preferences, because we all also have our own musical preferences as well as experiences listening to the same song.
And going forward, what kind of bands do you want to see live that you haven't yet? What's on your bucket list?
Oh, good question. I would love to see Chelsea Wolf. That would be that would be my number one bucket list. There's also a band called Sorry that I'm really into, that I would love to see live. I think those are the main two that are coming to mind right now. But I think that you asked me if I had living or dead, if I could pick any, if I could totally open it up, and I could pick the artist, I would definitely want to see Mazzy Star. And then I don't know if this is against the rules, but I would also want to pick the venue. I would see her at the Heartbreak House, where I saw Buck Meek, and just totally curate that experience to like, this is going to be the grill music thing of my life.
Yeah, mate, excellent selection, by the way.
Thank you.
if you could go back, you definitely sent me back with that selection. So that was good. And you've done a first for our show. Is actually go one step further and suggest where you would see them. We've never had a guest do that before. So I think that's really sweet. You know, being able to do that's awesome. And yeah, so we have to get to the Heartbreak.
Yeah, what's the history on that venue? Do you know anything about
it? I want to go to the Heartbreak House now. You keep talking so highly of this place, and so it must be quite a venue.
Yeah, so it's a historic home. It's on Block Street, and it's owned by this really awesome lady named Nina, and it belonged to her parents, and she studied historic preservation, and so she's been slowly restoring it, and it's just this really amazing space. It's not like a regular venue, but she will just spontaneously during like Roots Festival or various times of year, if she sees an artist coming through for maybe a different show that they're playing, she'll invite them to come stay a night and play a show. And then yeah, maybe 20 or 30 people will get tickets to come see this last minute experience. And so that's also kind of plays into this exclusive sort of experience. Wow. Where you're like, oh my God, I have to go. It's only one night and it's last minute. Sign me up. But yeah, I will let you know about the next one.
Wow. What an experience. That you said her name is Nina.
Nina.
Yeah. Wow. That sounds like a fantastic experience that she has. It reminds me of this service that's out there now, or not service, it's an experience where you could sign up to go to a location, but you don't know who's going to play or who's going to be there. And it's a small venue that you're going to, but you're signing up and you just kind of go, and you don't know where it's going to be. But the Heartbreak, Heartbreak House. I almost said hotel. Sorry. I've been listening to a lot of Elvis lately. Yeah. Sorry. But man, you make making us want to go.
I was thinking of Whitney Houston. Yeah. We said Heartbreak Hotel. I don't know why she's got this on lyrics like that.
Well, that's Elvis though.
Heartbreak I think Hotel? It's Whitney. I don't know. I'm thinking Whitney when you say that.
Now, what an experience, Macy. That's yeah. I love when venue owners do that and they keep this experience in mind. You know, because that's what we're, you know, we're also love to explore is the venue owners and what they do to create these experiences and to essentially build community through an experience with the fans, you know, among the fans, but also between the fans and the bands, and to do that. And it sounds like Nina has done that and is doing that. And
I love a venue with like a original wood floor.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Like that will just, I mean, if I walk into a venue and I see that, it just changes my whole experience right there.
Yeah.
Because you've been there where other people have been, you know, and there's something about that, you know, and I know in California, we have a lot of packing houses. And so they have a lot of events at old packing houses, and you walk in and it's like original floor. And you just can feel and almost smell like the fruits being packed. It's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, there's a venue in Chicago called Shuba's, and that is it's an old saloon. I believe that the history of that is. If it's not, I know someone will correct us at some point. But that has wood floors, and that is just a fantastic place to experience like a country. You know, type of music or folk or Americana. And yeah, we've had a lot of great shows at Shuba's because there's a bar next to it and you kind of flow into it, but it has wood floors and it's got this, you know, the just the architecture of the stage is like, you know, it's like a saloon, and it has that, yeah, your feet, shoes on the wood floor and that smell, right?
Oh yeah, you're like, oh, someone great also creaked in this exact spot. I feel the connection.
yeah, right. Because again, I mean, you're seeing and expressing the live music experience and musical experience visually, and you know, there's the audio experience obviously, and then there's the smells, right?
And smell is actually one of the strongest
attached
senses. Right. And a lot of people who actually have history of trauma, that smell stays with them. It could be very, you know, obviously horrible when they go into, they smell that again. So they've done research and they say that because the smell goes right to your brain, literally. You know, you smell, you take in that smell. If it could be a good thing, it could be like a chocolate cake. But it goes right to that brain, as whereas hearing it's a little bit different, and touches, it goes through other areas of your body. But they say with smell, that just can bring you back in seconds.
So Macy, can you smell the Heartbreak Cafe if you close your eyes right now? Could you smell?
I think so, but no, I have heard that that smell most strongly evokes memory. And yes, I one time I considered making a scratch and sniff soundscape.
Wow, that would be cool.
Oh, you were onto something right there.
Yes.
What would be the
you couldn't have a smells. Frame on it though. It would have to be like that's where you could actually have access to it. It'd have to be like a board, a frame that has, you know, four pieces of wood bordering it. And so people could go up and it'd be very interactive.
Oh yeah. No, I'm still working through the details, but I think that some sort of immersive experience like that is incorporating multiple senses could be really interesting.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's what happens with a concert shirt, right? A concert shirt will absorb the smells of a show. I've had a lot of shirts over the years, and actually one that got me into trouble a little bit, that, you know, I couldn't get the smell out of the show. and my mom was like, well, what's this concert shirt about? And you went to see, when did you go see Aerosmith? And I was like, oh, and she's
busted.
Like, and she said, she's like, what's this smell on the, on the shirt? I go, it's, you know, smells like marijuana maybe or whatever. I don't know. And I said, well, I didn't do anything. Like, there was everybody around me. and the shirt had absorbed all of the smells, and I think someone spilled the beer, you know, sprinkled the beer or whatever, you know, on the right shoulder. It's like, it, no matter how many times I washed that shirt, it just didn't come out. But I don't think I washed that shirt for at least probably maybe a couple of weeks or so. Maybe it just, that was part of my problem. But smells, you just put that shirt up against your face and you smell it, and I can all of a sudden, I am transported back to, you know, the lawn, and you know, I can hear Aerosmith playing like it was yesterday, you know, or anything like that. The smells. So scratch and sniff, Macy, you are onto something with that. We would love to collaborate with you if you ever wanna to do that. It's fantastic. So switching gears a little bit, we've been talking about memorable top five shows. 30 Seconds to Mars. So we asked you, you know, about your worst show experience. Because you can't, you know, you can't just talk about the good stuff, because you don't know what the good stuff is if you don't go to a bad show first, right? I think you have to have
A bad opening artist. There's lots of those.
Oh, yeah. Guess start somewhere though, right? But 30 Seconds to Mars, you said that there was, you know, way too much crowd interaction. Take us through that. Why that was a bad show for you? Your worst show, I think, is what you said.
Yes. I saw him a couple years ago at the Walmart Amp in Rogers, and I've always been a big fan of him, mostly as an actor, but also I was very into his band 30 Seconds to Mars, and so he came through town and I felt like I had to go make my emo teen dreams come true. But anyway, I was really hoping to hear him sing and just kind of observe his presence on stage and all of the good things. But he was basically just, I don't know, his entire stage presence was completely dismissive of any sort of intimacy like we've been talking about, where every single song, he just turned the microphone to the audience, and of course everyone knew every word and they were yelling it. But I've seen artists do that before in, I don't know, in small doses, but he did it for like an entire 3-minute song, and then he invited maybe 30 people from the crowd up on stage, and there were balloons and they completely covered him up. And so this intimate experience with Jared Leto that I was seeking just never happened, and I was so disappointed.
That's very disappointing.
It was
to hear that. I have never seen them live, but I have lots of friends who have paid lots of money to see him, and I've heard that before. It's kind of a letdown.
Yeah, I was really hoping to hear him scream, to be completely honest, and he didn't even come close. So,
Oh no, you didn't scream. Didn't do a scream. Oh man.
No.
Wow. Yeah, that's. I always felt, you know, movies, concerts are very different than like when you go to a restaurant or if you go purchase something at a store. If you don't like it, you could take it back or you get your money back. Right.
Yeah.
Your expectation, I expect this food to be cooked in a certain way, or I expect this product to do this. You can go to customer service or you can talk to the manager, right? And I always thought it was interesting, you know, our entertainment experiences are not the same, where you can, you know, you can't go to Jared Leto and say, you know, hey,
you could tweet him. Some people tweet, and you figure like those 30 people that were on stage, they probably had a really good experience.
That's
maybe
it, right? There's a little fine print on the ticket that says, you know, we may play 30 minutes of the show, or we may play, you know, like it's subject to that. I just think that's, it's just so not in the favor of the concert fan, right? Because Macy, you were expecting something at the show, and it totally, they did not deliver for you.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I think he's the first crossover musician actor that I've ever seen perform live. And it was almost like he was too aware of the crowd and or the audience, and versus kind of retreating into himself to provide or reveal himself, I guess, where he just, it was almost like he was hiding behind his audience. But I also think that's funny what you were just saying. It probably was a really good experience for those people on stage. You could interview them and they would tell you that that was their best concert experience ever.
Isn't that they got to touch him, maybe.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? Same concert, two very drastic different experiences, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. It'd be another person's trash is another person's treasure, I guess. Maybe. Who knows? But yeah.
Now, as Soundscape Studios, have they ever done a 30 Seconds to Mars drawing or
no
presentation, I should say? Art, I should say.
I call them prints. And
well, prints, you know, okay.
I have not done that. I would say I almost have a 200 songs in my collection, and the majority of them have been requests by other people. And so I like to leave it open because I don't necessarily know what songs are meaningful to certain people's experiences or what song they would like to gift someone. It's like, I know songs that I like and I think are cool, but that is a completely separate thing than the emotional connection to a song that would want or that would basically inspire you to purchase it as a literal artifact. You know, that's a very specific intention with a song for yourself or someone else. And so I love it because it means that my collection has almost become like a collective consciousness of music, you know, where it does kind of relate to popularity in music generally, because the most requests have been Beatles songs, and so that kind of tracks with just general popularity of music. But yeah, sometimes they surprise me and I will get a real curveball of a song, like, okay, that, all right.
What's been the hardest one to
yeah
to
what's
do?
Been the latest curveball or the hardest one?
Also those are separate answers. The hardest one that I've ever done was a classical song. It was Nimrod from the Enigma Variations by Edward Elgar, and it took maybe almost 15 hours to complete because the chord changes were so intense. And it's a beautiful, beautiful song, and it turned out really great, but that one took forever. The biggest curveball of a song that I've gotten that continues to sell really well and people buy it all the time and they love it is Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog. I personally don't have a really deep emotional connection to that song, but let me tell you, a lot of people do, so I'm not judging. But
why do you think that's so popular?
I don't know. It's fascinating. I'm trying to think of another song that got me. Randomly, I've gotten a lot of Wolfpack requests lately, which made me really excited because I do love them.
Now, do you get a lot of international requests or are they mostly domestic?
I get a lot of requests from the UK, which they're into the Beatles over there, as you would imagine.
Still going strong, the Beatles.
Yes.
Oh, what about the Rolling Stones? I mean, come on, right?
I haven't actually had any requests for the Rolling Stones. Can you believe it?
No way.
No, not even one.
Not one for the Rolling, no?
What about Dave Matthews?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
Hip-hop, any hip-hop ones? Do you do hip-hop?
Yeah, that was an interesting challenge though, because so with rapping, you know, there's not as much fluctuation in the tonality of the voice. Mm-hmm. And so it was more rhythm based. And so I did do a cover, several covers of Dr. Dre songs where I stripped the color away and I just did like the rapping part, and then I did the snare, hi-hat, and kick bass as just like a complete rhythmic print. I did that for several Dr. Dre songs, and then I did Wu-Tang Clan Protect Your Neck, and it turned out really cool. And I
Cool.
printed it in black and white, and it was
Wow.
cool.
Now, have you ever had
That's
any
cool.
artists request their own songs?
Yes, I
No.
had. So I did an album cover design recently for Ian Zumbach. He reached out to me, and his music's beautiful. He's like singer-songwriter, acoustic, just beautiful music. And so I recently completed an album cover for him that's going to release in March. So I'm really excited about that. That was my first solo artist connection that I've had. So that was fun.
Wow, I feel like we could talk about that for forever. Just all the different soundscapes that you requests that you've gotten. That's
And I have a feeling after this podcast, you're going to get a lot more. I just have a feeling.
There's a fun variety out there. Yep.
I don't well, Christmas is coming up here, right? So
That's
wink
true.
wink, Colleen. No, just kidding. But no, I want to put a couple in. But the next question we want to go dial all the way back, right? We want to do the we'll do first last, I guess, as we motor on here. So your very first concert was Anne Berlin, it sounds like.
Yes.
So take us through that story. How did that come about, and what was that first concert experience like for you?
So I'm trying to remember how old I was, maybe about 15. There's a really cool venue in Dallas called The Door, and I remember I went with my friend Tina, and that was just my first. I had just gotten my learner's permit, so I was kind of starting to get a sense of independence, and so that was like the very first concert where I drove myself there with my mom in the passenger seat, but then she left and took the
Nice.
car. And anyway, that was just really stand out in my mind too. We're like, wow, I'm driving myself to a concert right now. That is so cool. But anyway,
Awesome.
I remember standing outside in line, and it was so cold, but so worth it. And I just remember being so motivated in every single way to like, I will get in those doors, and it's gonna be amazing. But yeah, it was great. I had never experienced like a really big venue before. And the show was just amazing. And I do remember I do remember the songs that they played at that one, actually, maybe because it was just such a prolific experience to have your first concert. But yeah, it was great. And then I did get a shirt. I did get them to sign it, and I wore it all the time, and it did
Oh.
smell good.
See, there you go, right? There you go.
Yeah, I'm hitting all the senses.
Wow, and you actually got to meet them.
Yes,
Like most people's first show, they don't get to meet the artist.
it was awesome.
How did you go about meeting them? Did you kind of push yourself to the front of the stage, or was it like a how'd you meet them?
They were kind of hanging around the lobby after and just signing things for people, and so it was a very I would use the word meeting loosely. I definitely had them sign my shirt, and they asked me what my name was, and that was very cool. But that was definitely the extent of it. But I waited in line politely as my 15-year-old self that was very excited but also scared to death of well, like being in such a big place with so many people, but overall it was a very good experience.
Have you done any soundscapes prints with Anne Berlin songs?
No, I haven't. I've done Paramore, and I'm trying to think of songs that I've done of people that I've seen live. That would be a really good deep dive for me to do. I was gonna say I can't think of anything right now, but yeah, I would also love to do a series where I ask people why they chose the song that they chose to purchase and if they're gifting it or if it's for themselves. And then if it's for themselves, like, have you seen this band live and do you feel that that was the inspiration behind this particular song? I think that would be, yeah, a really interesting series.
Because I've seen Skinny Love live, and I Googled it because I was interested in, what was out there, and I was looking at the lyrics again and different things. That's how I came across your stuff, and so that yeah. So going back, that would probably be why I would purchase that one because I did see it live.
Yeah,
It
that's
means more to
fascinating.
me.
Oh my gosh, I was supposed to see Bon Iver in Kansas City this year, but I unfortunately ended up getting COVID like 2 days before, and so I couldn't go, and I'm so disappointed. Oh my gosh, because someone that song is okay. Not that song, but For Emma is another song that I've done by him, and I actually had a guy request a soundscape that he ended up getting as a tattoo on his arm because he was that into his live music experience of seeing For Emma. And I was so inspired by that. And I think that I would cry if I saw him in person with his or with my art on his arm permanently. It was just a lot. But yes, I think he was going to be at that show. And I really wanted to track him down.
Well, and that tattoo artist would have really had to spend time with all the colors,
Oh,
and get those colors just right.
yeah, he sent me a time lapse video, and I think it took 10 hours total. But it looks really crisp, and the angles are great, and the color palette looks beautiful. And I was just really over the moon when I saw it. And yeah, that's been one of my coolest experiences so far with this project, I would say.
Well, we love to connect stories. So at some point, I'd love to meet that individual, that fellow concert fan, because
Yeah.
that is that. Wow, he tattooed your art on his skin, and wow, that's amazing. Yeah, we had somebody had tattooed or was inspired by one of the pictures that Colleen took of Bon Iver, and got that tattooed on her. Right? Was it
Yeah,
the
because he actually has a few tattoos on the back of his neck, but he doesn't always show them. But for some reason, that show that I photographed, he turned his back towards the audience, and I got, the saying on there,
That
and
was
then
then,
that
yeah.
was then, yeah. And so someone recreated that on their skin too.
Oh my gosh, that's so
So
cool.
yeah.
It's an honor. I mean, it really
Yeah,
is. I get
truly.
it.
I understand. Yeah. No, that's awesome. Man, I'm floored, Macy, by that. Just that's I and I could tell you are too. That's just that's like a whole nother level, right? Somebody takes your
Oh,
art
yeah.
and like I mean, it's yeah, wow. Just another, yeah, amazing. Very, very, very cool. Well, I know we've talked a lot about your work. I mean, your website is where people can find you. Is that the best?
Yes, soundscapeart.com.
Excellent. And holiday season is coming up, right? So is this a good time?
Yes, this is a great time.
A lot of good
And birthdays are all year round.
Oh yes.
Birthdays are a good time too. I mean,
Concert fans.
yep. Or an anniversary. I'm
Very
sure there's a
true.
lot of anniversary gifts.
Yes, I do a lot of first dance songs since the year one is paper as the gift, and so that works out well.
Wow. It has been fantastic to talk to you, Macy. And yeah, this is great. We
This has
love
changed the way that I visualize music for sure.
That's great to hear. I've really enjoyed talking to you guys as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. And again, enjoy all your concert experiences. And we love having you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Live Fix Podcast is a production of Live Fix Media and is produced by Chris and Colleen Catania. Hey, we know every concert fan has a live music story to share, and we'd love to share yours in a future episode. So head on over to livefixpodcast.com and click on share your story. We look forward to hearing from you. Like what you heard? Did you get inspired by the stories of your fellow concert fans? Then help support Live Fix Podcast by subscribing and sharing a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. We appreciate your support, and thanks for listening.